See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us as always is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
What's up, family?
And Catherine Horan.
Hello, everyone.
And here we are. We're literally, as we record this, in the last days of March, Joe. I don't know if you're aware of that, but we are now heading straight into, it'll be April by the time this comes out, April 2nd. So the Fool's Day will already be passed. So we can't really even do any April Fool's jokes.
It'll be my sister's birthday.
What?
April 2nd. It'll be my sister's birthday.
Ah.
Now everyone knows.
Happy birthday, Liz. Thank you for letting us use your condo for the film festival.
Oh, God, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And for my subsequent summer vacation, we got to spend a few days in Chicago there.
At least one night we all got to spend the night there.
Yeah.
Mark, we did. Of course, bailed on us. And
Mark was one night.
$300 cab ride home.
I decided to, three snores was enough. Let it be two snores.
Well,
I have mine under control now. I have a mouth guard. And
yeah, mine is too.
Does actually. It work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dang.
I record myself every night, and it's awesome. I play
every
it back
night
on
it's
my
clear.
Way to you work say, you, every morning, yeah.
How do you record yourself?
8 hours listening to yourself sleeping to make sure.
Yeah.
Or do you just, you could actually just look at the sound file and see, I suppose. But
yeah, there's an app that records you all night long and you can't play it back and listen, but it basically is rating your decibel levels all throughout the night. And so the higher the decibel, the worse your snoring is. And mine are pretty damn good right now.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Joe, what have you watched recently?
I have watched. Well, I'm watching Mad Max: Fury Road right now. I did start watching a new series on Netflix called "Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen" by the Duffer Brothers.
Oh yeah, I was looking at starting that.
I watched the first episode.
I am two episodes in, and I gotta say, I'm hooked. I'm intrigued. I watched the first two episodes thinking, Matt, you of anybody would really like this one, because it's more of a spooky, eerie, coincidental type thing. No real blood or gore as of yet, so you should stick with it. I'm intrigued. So
we haven't started it yet, but we just finished Pole Dark. So we have an opening for a new show to tackle.
Well, there you go. So. Something very bad will happen. Yeah. I also watched in a non-horror related thing, the Rise of the Red Hot Chili Peppers documentary, which was on Netflix, which was a pass. Even if you're a big RHCP fan, I would pass on it because you probably know most of the stuff already. And I've been keeping up with Invincible on Amazon Prime because the voiceover cast for that is just daunting, the amount of people that do voiceovers for that. Steven Yeun, J.K. Simmons, Walter Goggins, Jason Mantzoukas. It's just Zachary Quinto, Sandra Oh, it just keeps going on and on and on. Great show. And for those of you that are thinking, well, it's just a cartoon, who cares? It's the bloodiest cartoon I've ever seen in my life. There
it's
are
great.
People literally being ripped in half, and there's just blood and gore everywhere. So those few episodes that they do have, that it makes it worth my while. So
yeah, I just can't get into cartoons.
Neither can I, but I'm telling you, Invincible is freaking fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
So
that, I've tried. I've given it a shot. I just cannot get into it.
Yeah. The only other thing I've been doing. Oh, two things. I've been playing a lot of Resident Evil Requiem, which is still. I love it. I'm very slow at it. So most other people, I'm sure, have finished it by now. And I just came back from Trans World in St. Louis. And no, it's not that Trans World. It's the horror and Christmas decoration show or something. It's absolutely gargantuan. And I've seen so many gargantuan horror animatronics. Unfortunately, the display that I put in my yard, this show really isn't for me, which is kind of what I found out in Chicago.
It's everything more for haunts? There.
Yeah, it's more like for if you're running a haunted house or a haunted barn or a haunted park, you walk the, these things cost like $5,000 to $7,000 a piece. Oh, they're run on these huge hydraulic systems. And they're also like for me, when the weather's really bad, or if it's going to rain or something, I will run out and like try to cover my props with tarps. These things are so big. I would like need to pitch a tent over them, you know? And,
are you still going to do your yard thing? Cause I know last year you got so frustrated that you were planning to give away everything you could.
The retirement's still that there's one prop. There's one thing that I still have on my bucket list that I have to make, and I'm not quitting until I've made it.
All right.
And I'm making a giant mausoleum in my yard that's going to have a projector on the inside with all these ghosts like flying. So it looks like when you're looking in it, it's filled with ghosts that will move. So.
Yeah, because you said, hey, just come and take it. Just get it, rent a truck and take it. And Michelle was like, you've got the summer off. Just drive out there. I'm like, let's give it some time. Joe's mad right now. He will calm down.
I was so mad. Like having to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to run out and put giant garbage bags over the top of props so they don't get soaked or ruined. That sucks.
It's a passion though, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's impressive to watch you do it, and because you're really talented at it. You're really good at it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm going to do it at least one more time, and then we'll see.
And throw a Halloween party?
I am not, but there may be somebody throwing one that we would be throwing in collaboration with.
Okay.
A friend of ours may be throwing a big party that we may be helping them throw.
Oh, nice.
I'll let you know if that happens. So,
not too shabby.
So yeah, and then I also kind of the main reason I went down there, I've been roped into converting to the other side. The company I work for wants a big Christmas display, and they want like the dancing lights that are synced with the music and stuff. So they were the ones that sent me down there so I could learn how to do all that stuff. And I feel like I'm betraying my true self, you know, celebrating Christmas and putting up decorations for that. But
you can make it a bloody Christmas.
I don't think that would fly, but
damn it.
It's all part of the job.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all I've been doing.
All right.
Shut up, Joe. Shut up.
Whoa, jeez, Mark.
I was done, Mark.
I didn't say anything. Because I fucking did. Said so.
Hey, what the fuck? I'm done.
Because I fucking said so.
Oh, Mark,
shut up,
done.
Joe. Shut up.
I'm done. God. It's your turn.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Jesus.
Mark, go ahead. Jeez, dude. Good.
What
calm
did you
down.
Do, Mark?
Yeah, what
sorry.
Did you do?
I had some coffee. I just can't control my voice. I'm just throwing it out there or something. Oh, my God. I went out and I saw Ready or Not Part 2, Here I Come.
I fucking love this film. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Okay. For those of you paying attention, this is another segment of
Mark made a boner.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, what did you think of? What was the movie you said there, Mark?
I saw Ready or Not Part 2. So what?
Yeah, why did you love Ready or Not Part 2 so much?
I fucking love this film.
No, okay.
I love it.
Can this sound just be Mark's reviews from now on? We just
for everything. Yeah.
What did you think of this, Mark?
I fucking love this film. I love it.
Perfect. God, what did you think of it, Catherine?
Mark, would you like to know what I hear about this?
Would
you like to know what I think about this film?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Oh, shut up, Brian. Shut your hole in that face, Brian. Golly. No, it's not a bad film. It's a fun film. Samara Weaving, also aka the actress that looks like Margot Robbie, returns as Grace, and they start right off where they left off from the first film. And there's four more rival families that are out to get her, and they bring her sister into the game. Actress Catherine Newton, who was in the film Ant-Man and the Wasp and Abigail. And, of course, her character's name is Faith. So the two sisters is Grace and Faith. Great. And they play kinda the same game again.
Sage.
Yeah, they play the same game again. Look, it's fun, sure. Is it scary? No. I never felt like there was anything... at stake. At stake for that, you know, in this film, the two sisters are like superheroes. Like every time they get injured, like 3 minutes later, it's like they're not even acknowledging, you know, what happened to them. They're like they're superheroes, and so like there's no stakes. It doesn't seem real. It's just like a nice action, you know, bloody film. It's not scary at all. You're not worried about these sisters. You're pretty much know what's going to happen at the end. There is a nice little twist at the end. But Elijah Wood's great in it. He plays I don't want to ruin it, but he plays a lawyer in a way, involved more into it. And he's just always wonderful to watch. It's not bad. I would wait till streaming. I mean, there's one good fight scene involving Mace, which is really kind of believable and like fun to watch, you know, like what happens if two people are maced and they're still trying to fight? Kind of fun. Other than that though, I definitely wait till streaming. It's, you know, it's just not that great. So also, Catherine, last, episode, talked about Into the Madness, right?
In Search of Darkness.
So, it just popped up on Prime, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, there it is. I said, all right. And then I looked, it's 6 hours long, or 5 hours, five or six.
I think they're like six each, yeah.
I think it's like 6 hours long. I started it. I could not stop. It's like crack. It's like they review a film.
I fucking love this film. It's not a film. Love it.
It's a documentary. But it is so much fun. It just plays, gives enough time for each film, give a little, you know, notes and hints about the film and whatnot, and what these actors, you know, they have a lot of actors and actresses and directors and producers that are mentioning that were involved with the film. And it just, I could not stop. I watched straight 6 hours of it. And I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just scrolled down. I said, man, I really wish I could have watched the 80s one, because that's kind of like my thing. There it was. And I'm just like, ooh. And I just pressed play, and I went another 2 hours. I went 8 hours straight till 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm telling you guys got to watch it. It's so much fun, and it's so interesting. And it's fun to watch the films that it's not just like Scream or, you know, Friday the 13th. They pick obscure films that not many people know about. And when they pick the films that we've already reviewed. I'm like, we did that one. So it was like a lot of fun. It was super fun. And they have like nice segments for Japanese and Korean, and it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend this. It's great. And Catherine's on the credits. So, hey.
Nice. I backed them. I gave them money. I didn't actually do anything for it.
But yeah, that's what I watched. What'd you watch, Matthew?
Well, Catherine, what did you watch?
Okay,
Catherine. I watched all kinds of stuff. I went on kind of a little Shutter binge, just trying to catch up on some stuff on there. And I watched The Last Video Store, which is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a very lo-fi movie about this guy who owns a video rental store. And this woman comes in looking for a video, and they end up watching this cursed tape together, and stuff from the movie start coming out into the real world, and they have to battle them. And it was fine. It was a fun idea. It was fine.
Fine.
It was fine.
Is that on the poster? Like, that's the pull
it's
quote.
Fine.
Like the last
it's
video.
Fine.
It was fine. Catherine
it was
Moran.
Fine. I also watched The Mortuary Assistant, which is a new one that just came out, and that one was pretty good. I didn't realize it was based on a video game. Has definitely some good creepy moments. It's about this woman who has just graduated, I guess, from mortuary school or whatever you call it, and she's also a recovering alcoholic or drug user, and so you don't quite know, did she relapse and everything she's seeing is because she's on, you know, the drugs again, or is this actually happening? And it's got some nice moments into it. It kind of fell apart a little bit towards the end, but overall, that was a fun one to watch.
Nice.
I also watched Body Cam, which is kind of a fun, it's a found footage movie, Joe, so just heads up there.
I'm aware of it, and I have okay. avoided it.
Okay. Body Cam.
But it's yes, these police officers, so you're watching everything through their cam footage. That's another one. It's a nice short movie. It's not even an hour and a half. So it's a quick one. Again, I'd probably give it maybe three cuts. It was an interesting idea. Some things were better executed than others, but you know, it was, if you need something short to watch, that's the perfect thing.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. It's on my watch list though. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. I also started Something Bad Is Going to Happen. I watched the first episode of that, and I'm intrigued. I'm curious to see where this goes. I watched, because you guys in the chat were mentioning Manos Hands of Fate, so I had to watch that again, because I don't think I'd watched it since that last time. So that was fun to rewatch. And then I watched They Will Kill You, which is a new movie that just came out. And Mark, it would make a nice companion piece to Ready or Not. It also involves this kind of satanic cult and people trying to escape it.
The
concepts very bloody.
Of the two films seem very similar.
Yes,
very similar. Lots of blood, lots of gore, very kind of cartoony, over the top blood and gore. So,
kind of like Kill Bill is what I got
it
from
reminded
the trailer.
Me of Kill Bill. Yes, Kill Bill definitely has those vibes, but it was fun. Again, I think I would say wait till it's streaming. Okay. No need to rush out and see it. It's again, I'd probably give it like three, maybe three and a half cuts. It's got some fun people in it too. I won't give that away, but yeah, it was a good movie. And then I finished watching The Burbs, the Peacock series.
Oh, how was
it? Must watch.
It was fun. I mean, I think they just made it The Burbs for the name recognition. Doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the movie per se, but it was fun. It's enjoyable. It's got a fun cast of characters. I like the quirky neighbors. So definitely recommend if you're looking for something a little light. Nothing overly scary, not a whole lot of gore, but it's a fun watch.
Should have put Corey Feldman in that movie, you know, in that series. It would have been a hit.
I don't think he would have quite fit in with where they go on this one.
Yeah. Easy, Joe. Easy.
Then we did watch Project. Yeah. We watched Project Hail Mary, which isn't horror, but a fun stuff.
Great film.
Yeah, I love that.
Super fun.
Not in a religious.
And that's all I watched. What about you, Matt?
I have only watched our picks aside from Project Hail Mary, which I thought was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I think Michelle and Reznor liked it a lot. I thought it was fun. I didn't love it, but I thought it was fun. And that's really about it for me. So I guess if there's nothing else, Joe.
Well, I did have something. I just had a question. What is the next big movie you guys are looking forward to coming out this summer?
There's one. Hokum, I think, is the next one. That's the one directed by the guy
that looks really good.
He directed
Oddity
and Caveat.
So that's May 1st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's that one I'm looking forward to. And then, of course, In a Violent Nature Part 2.
Yeah. That's my next one I'm really looking forward to. But did you guys see the trailer for End of Oak Street?
No.
No.
Yeah, I did, but it's not horror.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's sci-fi thriller.
Very disappointing. Yeah. Very disappointing that I didn't see horror on that.
I'm looking forward to, on May 15th, Obsession. But more immediately, April 17th, Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Yes. I knew there was something coming out in April, but I couldn't remember.
It would take somebody like Lee Cronin to get me to go to a Universal monster movie. So
their track record recently is not very good.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tom Cruise one's horrible.
Is it? Oh, I can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah, I've watched parts of it, and it's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah.
What? So this new Mummy film, like, they're not really revealing much, which is great in the trailer. But who's in this?
No one.
No one we know?
Give me one second, and I can confirm that.
Yeah, Jack Rayner. It's people that there's a few on here. I'm looking at their pictures that look kind of familiar to me, but I don't know why. Like the main guy was in he played the boyfriend from Midsommar is the main guy.
Okay. Is this set in present day or back in the day? I have no idea about this film.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm interested. I mean, I'll go see
the young daughter of a journalist disappears into the desert without a trace. 8 years later, the broken family is shocked when she returns to them, and what should be a joyful reunion turns into a living nightmare. So, yeah, this all looks present time. This is not like, this is current.
Cool.
And I don't recognize anybody in this cast.
Yeah, the only one I recognize is the boyfriend from Midsommar, but that's it.
Yeah. But then again, I didn't recognize anybody in Evil Dead Rise either. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, good. Let some other actors work, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No star vehicles.
I don't need to see Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons in every movie.
That's true. That's true.
Just
God, are they good? Are they good?
So, all right. Speaking of those two actors, let's talk about a third actor, my buddy, my friend and yours, Willem Dafoe.
So
I'm officially going with Bring in the Noise, Bring in Dafoe.
Okay.
Bring in the Noise, Bring in Dafoe.
Bring in Dafoe, yeah. So we are celebrating some of the movies of Willem Dafoe, obviously, just not Spider-Man. But let's start off with the oldest one, the one I liked absolutely the least, Daybreakers from 2010, because this is in the future is set, way in 2019, way ahead of our time. So in 2019, a plague has transformed almost every human into vampires, and they're faced with a dwindling blood supply, and the fractured dominant race plots their survival. Meanwhile, a researcher works with a covert band of vampires on a way to save humankind. and laughter ensues from that point on. But Matt, let's no, actually, I take that back. Sorry, Matt. We're gonna, because there's another movie you're going first on. Catherine, what did you think of Daybreakers?
Well, I'm glad I get to go first because I like this one. I'd heard of it, but I had never seen it before. I thought it was a cool idea. Like, it's an interesting spin on the vampire movie. Usually, there's not that many vampires and it's humans versus them. And now you've got a whole world full of vampires and the humans are struggling to survive. It had some cool stuff. Like, I loved at the opening when they're experimenting on the vampire trying to find a cure for a replacement blood supply, and he's on the table and he just explodes. And I thought that was pretty cool.
When he says, ow.
And another interesting thing, they mentioned just kind of in passing, there's vampire animals and they're causing forest fires when they're exposed to sunlight, and they burst into flames and cause wildfires. I thought, oh, that's interesting.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a concept I hadn't seen before, but I think that was a great idea.
Fun. And yeah. I thought Ethan Hawke, he's Ethan Hawke, but he was fun in this.
and it would be pretty hard for them to fight forest fires or brush fires or anything like that, because vampires can only be out a certain amount of time. And
they don't like fire either.
There's no, they're not big fans of fire either, but they don't have the ability to do 24-hour firefighting.
No.
Well, there is a theory that vampires are the world's greatest golfers, but their curse is they can never prove it.
Oh, shit. Holy shit.
Are you giving you warning on
that?
I was expecting shut up, Joe.
Shut up. Because I fucking said so.
Okay, Mark.
What clip did you find that where I?
Why was he? He sounds actually mad. What episode was that? Do you remember?
It was episode 104, I think.
Oh. But do you remember the context?
I have no idea.
Oh, jeez, I sound really pissed.
Yeah. You get passionate.
He was very passionate about some movie, and I apparently made some comment.
Probably according to
a few minutes, bitch.
Mark put me in my place, so.
Yeah.
Catherine. Please proceed.
No. Sorry.
Our good friend Willem was, I liked him in this. He was kind of, this outlaw guy, he's the vampire that had been exposed to light and it turned him back into a human. So I just felt he was very cool in this, he looked kind of badass and he looked like he was having fun kind of chewing the scenery on this one.
His name is Elvis.
His name was Elvis, right? Exactly. I thought this was a fun idea. I enjoyed it. Not
his friends call him Elvis, right? Well, didn't he have an actual other name?
He had another name.
Yeah.
But no, this one was fun for me. I thought for sure it was based on a comic book, and then it didn't seem to be. But
Lionel Cormack.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Elvis is much better than Lionel.
Yeah.
Lionel Cormack.
All right, Mark, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Catherine on some of these, on some of her points. It's like, what a wonderful, great idea and concept. I mean, a film that was shot pretty well, but let's be honest, it's a movie that felt like it was shot in the 90s and written in the 90s. I mean, the dialogue felt like it was written in the 90s. It was frustrating because the idea is great. The whole idea is like a wonderful idea. It just wasn't encapsulated into this film that I really wanted it to do. I feel like it was a really wasted idea. And the film really goes off the rails when they visit Ethan Hawke's vampire doctor buddy. And the vamp gets a phone call and he says, it's my ex-wife. And everyone just lets him walk out of the room to talk. It's stupid. Then the girl gets tranquilized and they start running. Now, mind you, they're at the vampire's house in the burbs when this happens, right? And then William Defoe and Hawk run away, and they run downstairs in his house, and it goes into a subway. And then they run in the subway a little bit, and then they run upstairs, and they're in a gas station. Like, what? Like, did I miss something? Like, was something edited out where I don't understand how they're in this vampire's house, and then they're in the house, and you run downstairs, and then they're in a subway. It there was no explanation to that at all.
They can't
that
go whole, outside because of the sun, so it's all subterranean.
They actually had... Like, that was on the news, or there was a commercial while someone was watching TV about the underground connected subway to get you from A to B. My question is, why do they need that at all? Why don't they just sleep during the day and only work and go out at night? But it's like stock trader hours. I didn't get that part.
Yeah, it was, I understood, you know, the subway part, but so like the subway is connected to each house, or I don't know. It's like they have the cars, like they have a garage. So why don't they just get in the car? They have those specialized cars and just.
Because not everyone can afford a special car.
A lot
car.
Of money.
You got to think about the poor vampires.
It's a lot of
too.
Money. That's a lot of money for that subway. I mean, we can't even get a monorail.
Right.
Maybe someday in the future, way in the future of 2019, and we're living in this society, we'll understand the underground.
Yeah. In the future, 2019.
Yeah.
In the year 2019.
In the year 2000. Oh, I used to love that. Oh, my gosh.
It was the best.
God, Conan. Oh. No, it's a great story, but I can't recommend the film. I mean, there was one shot that I really enjoyed, though, in Daybreakers. It's like, it's at the end of the film, and he stakes a vampire like in this library or whatever, and he blows up, and the concussion blows Ethan Hawke back into like the wall, whatever. And it was like a really, really fucking cool shot. It was I really enjoyed that shot. I think William Dafoe is just being William Dafoe, and that's. And I wasn't a fan of this film. First time I saw it, but wasn't really a fan. I was more disappointed that it was just such a great idea. This would have been a great series, you know, instead of 90 minutes, you know, like just blasting you. And also with Sam Neill's daughter, like, why was that even in there? You know, it was just, it was just
dumb.
Didn't make sense. It, trying to make it, and with the music all dramatic, you know, bringing them outside, and I didn't give a shit. So, anyways, that's what I thought.
All right, Matt, you're up.
It's not 90s. This is very much 2000s horror look, and you know, it came out in 2009, but this is very 2000s horror look. I noticed that everything's kind of futuristic in this world, except for the cars. They sound like they might be battery powered, maybe, or something like that, which I guess in 2009 is pretty futuristic. But they're all the same cars that were available in 2009. Basically, they don't look any different. But that's always something I think that movies have a hard time with is coming up designing futuristic looking cars, I suppose. So if you become a vampire when you're a teenager or a preteen, you remain that way for the rest of your life, right? But at one point, I think it's Ethan Hawke looks over and there's a group of teenage vampires sitting around smoking and hanging out in a corner like a bunch of roving toughs or something. But why would they still be acting like they're teenagers, you know, if they're really, however many years old? Why would they still be acting like a bunch of little punks? It would have been more interesting if those characters had been in positions of power, like they're children, but
in Blade.
Yeah, right. That was a moment where I actually said something in Blade is better than another
Blade
movie.
Blade got something right, yeah.
Yeah, Blade is a real good movie, Matt. You just don't want to admit it.
Yeah. No, I'm terrified to admit that. let's see. life's a bitch and then you don't die. Oh, that line really, it crushed my soul for a moment. You could feel Ethan Hawke, but he was really trying to downplay that line. You could tell he was not wanting to deliver it the way, you know, some other action actors might have wanted to deliver it. You could tell him, feel him saying, oh, I hate this fucking line. Lionel Cormack, my friends call me Elvis. What if it was the other way around? I'm Elvis, but my friends call me Lionel Cormack. Wait, the daughter is becoming, yeah, and then the, right, like Mark said, the daughter, like, I don't understand the storyline because the daughter was a human, but then she becomes, I thought it took some time to become one of those zombie creature things after you haven't had enough blood for a long time. Like,
she was eating her, she was drinking her own blood, so it sped up the process.
Okay, I must have zoned for that part. Okay, so how does the vampire sunlight work? I asked this, and I think I was referring to, it seems like as long as they're in shadows, they're okay, but I don't know. I feel like that's a big risk to take when you could literally burn alive in front of everything, hoping that tree leaves are going to stay, the wind's not going to blow them a little bit. And that just doesn't, that never makes sense to me when I see that.
The tree was ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's like, get out of here.
I know. And then, yeah, the color grading on this, the green color grade on this is so overwhelming.
It's to the
point where I think that it made the movie worse than it actually was. Like, if it looked better, this might have been easier to take, but it was so overdone. I don't like, this had to be the peak of that moment of 2000s color grading for movies, and then they must have looked at this and said, okay, that's fucking too far, let's pull it back a little bit. way too much. God, it was bad.
They love the Matrix.
Yeah, I guess so.
Matt, one of my notes is anyone else tired of the blue-green overlay in this movie?
Yeah, it's and kind of a metallic, like, oh God, it's terrible. And I could tell that if it didn't have that, this would be a beautiful looking movie that was shot well. It's just they decided to grade it like that. I don't know why. And then the guy said, they're questioning this guy, and he says, if his phone rings, he says, it's my wife. And they just let him walk out of the room. Like, that was the most, this is the biggest doofuses ever. And obviously that guy's not going to stick around.
I do that at police stations when I get arrested.
What?
I do that at police stations all the time when I get arrested.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
hang on a second, guys. My wife's on the phone.
Mind if I step outside? Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead. Yeah. No problem. But I did think that the last act made up for a lot. I thought the last act had its moments, and I thought it was kind of fun by then. But it was, I mean, I felt like the movie was like two-thirds or almost three-quarters exposition, trying to be like world-building and exposition, and then you finally get something in the last quarter to third of the movie. And it was, you know, a little too little too late, but not like terrible. I don't think I'd tell somebody, yeah, you got to watch this movie, but I was with it, I guess, especially towards the end. I thought this had by the end, I thought to myself, this had potential to be a pretty good movie. It wasn't just the look of it, but there were other problems and that we've talked about, but it had the potential there. There's a great cast for one thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and of course, Willem is Willem. So he always brings up the level of what he's doing, even though he had some horrible lines. I think he had something about a tree the first moment we meet him that was ridiculous. Like, nobody knows that trees are old.
This tree is 400 years old. And
do you know that trees are the oldest living things on Earth? Yeah, no shit. We know that. Yeah. Yeah,
no, that's vampires. Not true. Sharks are.
Sharks are older than
trees.
Than trees?
Yes.
Well, all right.
I could see that. Probably had water before we had land.
Yeah.
Let me do a quick Google because I always like to just double check on Mark.
Fact check, Mark.
What is the?
I could. I'm right on this.
Oldest.
I'm right.
Are sharks older
thing
than trees?
On Earth. is an organism, a Great Basin bristlecone pine tree in California's White Mountains named Methuselah. So,
what?
4,857 years old.
No.
So when I just Google what is older, sharks or trees, it says sharks came first. Sharks appeared roughly 400 to 450 million years ago, with <That's>... ancestors appearing in the Silurian period. Conversely, the early tree-like plants did not appear until, like, 2019. No, I'm sorry. That's 350 million years ago. So
Mark's
the
right.
Longest living individual organisms on Earth are clonal colonies and ancient plants.
And sharks.
Like algae?
And sharks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Mark, you might be thinking of animals, maybe. No, and actually, no, among animals, deep sea glass sponges live over 10,000 years, while black corals.
But we're just comparing sharks and trees.
Yeah.
Which came first.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I'll comparing sharks I'll Google and trees. That one. All
right. God,
sharks came first.
Came first, but which has a longer lifespan?
Which is older? Which is older?
It's a longer sharks. Lifespan. Sharks. Or trees, because which came
wait,
first?
Lifespan? That's... You could just say a redwood tree can outlive a shark.
No. But that's what Willem Dafoe's point was, that the trees are the oldest living things on Earth, not which has been around the longest. I mean, that would be like some amoeba maybe or something. So which has the longer lifespan, sharks or trees?
Oh fuck me! No, it's a tree then.
Yeah, it's not giving me. It just wants to
trees
talk about
don't
their evolution.
Bigger trees.
Well, who would win in a fight, a tree or a shark?
I think the shark would win that one.
All of these answers I'm getting on here. Okay, this is just ridiculous. But all the answers I'm getting on here only have to do with when they started evolving, not how long an individual organism lives. Okay.
Well, the shark has been here longer than the tree.
Right, but not, you know, there's no 300 million year old shark.
That no. We know.
You don't know that. You don't know that, Matt. Have you know how
Megalodon?
Deep that ocean is?
Yeah, right.
The ocean is unexplored.
This planet had sharks before it had trees.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And we don't know what's in the deep.
The shark tree debate.
Yes. Yes. let's see. What were we talking about now? That was it.
Daybreakers, 2019, way in the future. I only have a handful of notes left. Mark, I do think you're onto something with this would make a good series.
Mm.
Because one thing I could not wrap my head around is these vampires get up and they go to work every day. Like, if I was a vampire, I'm not going to a fucking job. I'm not punching a clock. My vampires in my head were like the Lost Boys, you know.
Yeah,
they just kill people and do whatever they want. They don't go work in middle management jobs in the city. So
yeah, I'm in the nightclubs, like Blade.
Well, I find that interesting because that means there is like a class war between you know, the lower class and the middle class vampires striving for vampire greatness one. That's a whole nother thing to explore,
and they kind of touch on that. They don't go very far with it.
Yeah that's why we need a series. Hello AMC, are you listening? I think what really bothered me right off the bat and at the end was the really cheap squeaky bat jump scare at the very beginning that they also redid at the very end, which was very unnecessary. I don't think this movie would ever win any awards for costuming because everybody is wearing all black. You know, if you're a vampire, it's just head to toe. I'm all black. I'm a goth. Unless I'm working at the bodega in the subway. And then I dress like a pump boy and dinette or something. You know, it was
the odd
vampire choice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I did think the idea of vampires being able to drive around during the day with the blacked out windows and just the video surveillance cameras on the inside was kind of a neat solution to a problem. If I understand this right, so if vampires start drinking the blood of other vampires, that's basically our real world equivalent to like mad cow disease. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're right on that.
The more, okay. So the more I watched this movie, the longer it was getting. There was that scene where they were trying to get rid of the vampires by shackling them to a truck and driving them all out into the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out, and there's Ethan Hawke's brother, who was some military guy, who was like starting to feel bad about this whole thing. And my thought as a viewer is, who am I supposed to be feeling bad for? Because let's face it, they're all vampires. You know, those are the bad guys. Why would I feel bad that the bad guys are dying?
Well, if he's feeling he's bad for them.
I know, but I don't care what he thinks because he's a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And with that 90s music, that dramatic 90s music, like they were playing, it's just like, ugh, slow motion.
And then, of course, we had somebody on this movie must have been a car guy, because at the end we got to have Smokey and the Bandit with that dumb black Trans Am. That's like,
it's a good looking car. I don't care. I think it's awesome. Those cars. Those cars are awesome.
I honestly thought Willem Dafoe was kind of wasted in this role. I would have liked to have seen Willem Dafoe switch places with what's his name, Sam Neill. Like, I think he would have done a more menacing version of Sam Neill's character. And Sam Neill just kind of was a waste of time, in my opinion. I don't think he did anything spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, but we always get William Dafoe's bad guy.
Yeah, I know. I get that. This is a rarity that he's not the bad guy, but he's just so good at it that I could see him being so menacing. You know, being in charge of this corporation and researching ways to kill the humans, but still, you know, help the vampire survive. But anyway, I agree. This should have been a TV series. So if we don't have anything more to discuss about that, our next movie stars Willem Dafoe. This is Death Note from 2017, based on the manga that I believe started in 2003. I'm correctly. Anyway, this is about a high school student named Light Turner who discovers a mysterious notebook that has the power to kill anyone whose name is written within its pages, and launches into a secret crusade to rid the world of criminals. So, Matt, please start this one.
I enjoyed this. I think I kind of had fun with Death Note. I don't have a history with it, so I have a feeling Mark hated it because I think he probably loves the anime or whatever.
Haven't seen the anime.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, I figured you would have.
The anime was good.
But I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of fun. It's not great. It's not a great movie, but I had a good time with it. What was the thing I wrote? Every victim has a name and a face. LOL. What was I talking about there, Joe?
So there was a line when you want to kill somebody,
yeah,
it can't be like some unknown person. They have to have two things. You have to have a mental picture in your head of what their face is, and then also know their name.
Yeah. I think, you know, his girlfriend is way cooler than him. Of course, it's Margaret Qualley. She's awesome in this, and like way you could tell. I don't know what movie this came out. What, 2017? Yeah. So was she? Had she done? She hadn't hasn't done,
The Substance, or
was she? Well, yeah, no, because that just came out a couple years ago. But had she done Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet? It's pretty new for her, right? I mean, her mom was, you know, famous, but
she might have.
It was around the time. I
think it was before. I think it was before.
Death Note was 2017. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was 2019.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this was before she, you know, really was known or whatever. But you could see that there's a lot of potential there with her. She's really, I thought she was great in it. And the main kid's pretty good. He has trouble running, though. his running style. He should learn a few lessons from Tom Cruise and how to run, because he was just it looked like he wasn't used to running. And then I like the I how close is it to the original, Joe?
It's pretty close. Like, they didn't stray a whole lot.
Yeah, like that kid, the guy who is his nemesis, kind of ninja guy or whatever. I could totally see that kind of character in an anime. I could see the anime come out in this a little bit, at least from characters. But then I don't have to watch animation, which I cannot stand. But
you mean the character L, the candy eating hacker?
Yes,
my least favorite character in this entire montage.
I mean, it is what it is, but I thought that this was all right. I had a good time with it. Willem Dafoe's voice is perfect for that character. I think one of my students a long time ago liked this, and I think we put it on one time when it was like right before Christmas break, and it was like a day where we had nothing going on. I think we put it on, and I remember, the voice was it seemed like a very similar kind of voice to Willem Dafoe, right? It was kind of a Joker a little bit.
Nothing says Merry Christmas like Death Note.
Yeah, exactly. But it was all right. I think I probably liked this one the best of all the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I have a note on here that says Matt is going to hate this film.
Oh, no. I had kind of fun with it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't think it was great, but I didn't hate it. No. And I think it was probably my favorite of these.
Okay. Catherine, what'd you think?
Very similar thoughts to Matt. I like this one as well. It was fun. I thought Willem Dafoe was fantastic. I thought the creature actually kind of looked a little like him when you got glimpses of his face. I was like, yeah, I could see that. I love just the very beginning when the what's the guy's name? Ryuk?
Something like that. Ryuk? Yeah, something.
Ryuk. When he's walking light through how to use the Death Note, and he's like, you write the guy's name in, and then write how he dies, and they pick decapitation. I was like, that's an extreme first choice. All right.
One other thing, I forgot to write this down, but I was hoping that it would have, because you reminded me of the deaths, it seemed like the first couple deaths seemed almost like, what's that movie?
Final Destination.
Final Destination-ish, yeah. And they kind of went away from that. But I wish this was a perfect setup for those kinds of deaths, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that's one of my notes, too. It has a lot of elements of Final Destination between that, especially towards the end, like with the giant Ferris wheel. I saw a lot of similarities there.
I guess they couldn't go all the way with that because it would be sort of rip-off-ish, I guess.
Exactly.
But it does lend itself to that, for sure.
Oh, definitely. I do like that he does use the power for good. He's killing people that deserve it, and they're actually trying to do a good thing here. I thought that was kind of a nice, refreshing thing. Margaret Qualley was fantastic. This was the second of the movies I watched. I had watched Kinds of Kindness first, so it was kind of fun. Oh, she's in this one too. I was kind of hoping she'd make an appearance in Daybreakers, and
I thought the same thing. Yeah,
have her in all three too. But oh well. But yeah, this one's fun. I was not familiar at all with the anime or the manga on this, so it was new to me, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was something different. It was a fun movie. I'm glad we saw it again. Yeah, nothing life changing, but yeah, this one and Daybreakers I enjoyed the most. I thought they were kind of fun.
Yeah,
the other one's a little heavy.
Too. Yeah.
All right, Mark, you're up.
Look, any movie that has the song "Take My Breath Away,"
I knew
it's a good movie for me.
I almost wrote that down as a note and I forgot. And
I have three musical notes.
Oh, it was. I mean, I got chills when that song came on. I was like, oh my god. this, I swear, man, it was, it was, it, it hit me in the feelings.
I knew.
Yeah. Oh, it was perfect. It was perfect. Look, this movie doesn't deserve a 4.5 out of 10 rating on the IMDb. It's a much better film than that, for sure. And I think that I know why it got that score. And I think it was bashed by the fans of the anime movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
They fucking destroyed the IMDb, because I don't think it was even close to being as bad as they would say. Now, granted, I haven't seen the anime version, and I'm grateful for that, because I got the chance to watch Netflix's version, which I thought was clever, funny, and for the most part, shot pretty well. The beginning was a little rocky, but once the characters, you know, L was introduced, I thought the film really ramped up, and I really started to enjoy the film. Lakeith Stanfield, who played L, was interesting, and I think stole the movie for me. Matt says he's not a fan of that. I love that character. No,
Joe.
Correct. I love that character. I loved him crouching up, and, you know, he's barefoot. He's kind of like this, like, bird. He's just popping in candy. He was so interesting and so fun to watch. And, Matt, I don't know what you're talking about. That chase scene, I love when they, you know, slip and stumble around and they're throwing things all over the place.
It's when he's running and there's nothing to dodge. He's flailing. It's like Steve Martin. That there's a Steve Martin special. I'll show you. he's supposed to be a professional diver, like, you know, diving into pools. And one of his is run like a crazy person, his dive. So I'll send you a clip of that.
I thought that was a great chase scene. I really did. I thought it was excellent. I like the L character so much that I would love to see a television series with L, like doing like a X-Files solving supernatural like horror shit or something. I think he's that good in the movie that I would actually want to watch something like that. But with all that being said, I really enjoyed it. If you're so into the anime, you know, I mean, the one thing I did not approve of was the credits scene at the end where they're just showing behind the scenes. Did you guys even watch the credits? Mm-hmm. It was so weird and so awkward. It's like, oh, we're having fun and all that. I was like, that didn't fit the film at all. I didn't think that was necessary. But other than that, it's like I'm very curious now watching. Is it a series or a movie, Joe?
Are you talking about the anime?
Yeah.
I don't know. The manga, though, I believe is 3 books long.
Oh, the comic book.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the anime?
I thought I saw the anime, and I think it is a series. I will... been a long time. It was like way in the future of 2019. Let me look.
But I will tell you, Mark, it's not the audience, because you look on Rotten Tomatoes, which does separate critics from audience members. The audience score is 23%, but the critics isn't much better. It's 36% for this movie.
Huh?
Seems a little harsh to me, but
I thought it was super harsh. Yeah, super it harsh. Was a series. I didn't think it was that bad at all.
Way back in, it was 20 years old. It was 2006.
Interesting. But no, I didn't think this film was bad at all. This was my second favorite out of the three. So, yeah. No, I thought it was good.
Okay.
Super fun. Super fun.
My first note is Margaret Qualley is a smoking cheerleader. And I mean that in both sense of the terms. So the decapitation kill right at the beginning did a wonderful job of setting the tone. I just, I felt like I agree with Matt. The kill sort of dropped off after that. I really was hoping for more like that. I think there was maybe one other, but anyway, they were fine. So I did write as a note, oh my God, how I wish I had that notebook. And I was wondering how far into the movie did any of you guys decide, oh, I wish I had that notebook. I could write a few names in there myself.
Right off the bat. Right off the bat. I would use sure that son of a bitch. That's what
everybody thinks. Yeah.
Yep.
Right off the bat.
I do think that their way of finding him seemed a little quick.
Like, far-fetched. How are you gonna, it just dropped out of the sky.
So yeah. That's why I did not care for, well, actually, I hated L for all the reasons that Mark liked L. The perching and the looking weird, and sometimes he's covering his face and sometimes he's not, and I gotta eat candy and I gotta, you know, have somebody babysit me and tell me when I gotta go to sleep. Those are the things I didn't care for. He's supposed to be some brilliant hacker and detective, and I don't know of any other detectives or hackers that act like that. But I also thought that the way he was solving this seemed really far-fetched. Like, he'd almost have to be, how in the world could he deduce that in order to, for someone to die, they have to have a name and a face? Mm-hmm. I don't see how they could have, how L could have put that together at all.
That's true. Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Or exactly where the guy, it's not like he went looking for him all other places. It's like he knew exactly where he was almost immediately.
Right.
Like, well, he had like 400, you know, investigations to figure that out, you know, like,
well, I mean, I could see
they were planting stuff at the time.
I could see pointing his attention towards the detective's son by simply, who's accessing the database? All of these people that have died have all been in the computers, the police department's database. Who's been accessing it? You know, and you go through all the cops and you're like, well, there's a whole bunch of IP addresses of other people that haven't interrogated yet. Let's start going down that list. And if you see the amount of times that the son is accessing the police database, I could see pointing towards him enough to investigate him, but knowing that, oh, he's got a book and he writes names and he's got faces in his head.
Right. That's
that was way too far fetched for me. Yeah. I did love the scene. This is the other kill that I really liked, is when they decide to have the police detectives that were tailing them walk off the building and commit suicide.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite clever.
That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty. Yeah, that was good.
That's awesome.
There's a nod to somebody's watching TV, and in the background you can see there's a clip of the movie Phantasm in there.
Yes.
Mark, I'm so glad that you paid attention to the music in this. However, there's a couple more songs that
there sure is to Joe.
Be mentioned. In Excess, Don't Change, fucking banger of a song. And it's like one of the few times I've ever seen it in a film. Yeah. Take My Breath Away. Mm-hmm. And then of course, I Don't Want to Live Without Your Love by Chicago. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
And then, of course,
perfectly slow motion with it.
And for the credits, let's have Air Supply do a cover of Power of Love.
Yes.
Come on. Who's picking these songs? They're amazingly good.
Yeah.
I don't want to live without you.
Without your love.
I don't want to live if living is without you. Isn't that Air Supply?
No. This was Your Love by Chicago.
Yeah, by Chicago.
Oh, okay.
It was after Peter Cetera took off for a solo career, and they brought this guy in, and that was their first hit. Like, fuck you, Peter.
Well, hey, but if that didn't happen, we never would have had I'm the Man Who Will Fight for Your Honor. I'll be the hero that you're thinking of. Gonna live forever, knowing together that we did it all for the glory of love.
Oh, God. Terrible. The glory of love.
Right through the ice.
Yeah.
Right through the ice.
So I also, if you haven't watched this is one I actually would recommend that people should watch. There's a very nice twist with the book between Light and Margaret Qualley at the end that you really need to pay attention to. Things you won't see coming. I think it's certainly worth your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All you haters out there.
Yeah, I really didn't get, because I remember when this movie came out on Netflix and I watched it and I thought it was really good. I liked it. And then I heard everybody talking crap about it. I'm like, I don't get it. I still liked it. So,
yeah, it's just like the Star Wars fans. Oh, I hate the prequels
Well, I do hate the prequels. Yeah.
The prequels would easy, man. Easy.
Terrible. I hate parts of the prequels. Anyway, so we've got one last Willem Dafoe movie to talk about, and that, of course, is the 16-hour-long Kinds of Kindness from 2024, which is actually just a compilation of three individual tight-end stories, which is a man seeks to break free from his predetermined path. A cop questions his wife's demeanor after her return from a supposed drowning. And a woman searches for an extraordinary individual, prophesies to become a renowned spiritual guide. So, Catherine, go ahead and start.
Oh, great. Yeah, Yorgos Lanthimos, he's hit and miss for me. Like, I really enjoy Begonia, really enjoy Pretty... is it Pretty Thing? No, that's not what it was. Poor Things. And The Favorite. But this one, I don't know. Like, it was just kind of a...
Sacred Deer?
I haven't watched that one yet, no.
Oh.
This was just kind of a slog to get through. Like, it was an interesting idea. There are parts of each story that I enjoyed. And it was a neat idea. I like the idea of three movies, you know, or three little kind of short films put together. Like, it was, that was fine. I don't know. It's just, a lot of times I found I just kind of tuned out, and then I was like, wait, what's going on? The first one, I know they talk about children a lot, and I was like, okay. And because I don't know. This one, I had a hard time keeping track of what was going on here. There's an ominous chant that happened over and over again. And it sounded like they were saying the director's name over and over. Sounded like they were going, Yorgos Lanthimos.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No. Like, what is
happening? Yeah. It was no. No. I thought the chant was no.
But I don't
was
know.
Getting a real The Shining or an Eyes Wide Shut vibe.
Yeah, yes, that. Joe, yes. Exactly.
And the piano.
In my notes. In
the
my
striking
notes.
Striking the piano notes randomly.
Fuck,
oh,
yes.
It's just weird. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
But yeah, I don't know. The first, the
shut
first
up,
scene
Joe.
Was
shut up.
Sorry, Mark. I'll just mute myself.
I didn't say anything.
Sorry, Catherine.
Oh, you're fine. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. I didn't make many notes just because I was just trying to concentrate and figure out what's going on.
I took none.
I think it was the third one. Yeah, the third. Was it the third one? No, maybe it was the second one where Emma Stone returns. She was on an island that was ruled by dogs, and the dogs treated the human. I want to know more about this island. I want a movie about this island.
That was the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Tell me more about this.
And then they show clips of the dogs later or something
right?
like that.
That was kind
of
funny.
Driving in the car. They're driving.
Driving in the car.
The
is
right? Yeah.
Fucking into bed.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
And I love the purple Mustang that she, or the purple, what is it?
Oh,
it was the
God,
Dodge
yeah.
Challenger that yeah. she's driving. Yeah. I love that car.
And the way she cool drives car. Is pretty funny. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was fine. The actors were great. Willem Dafoe, good old Margaret Qualley again, Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons. They were all fantastic. I have no idea what any of this was about, but you know, 3 hours of my yeah. life, I will never get
they,
back.
They should have just named this WTF.
Yeah.
Oh, plus I want to point out during those credits when we're watching the dogs, like the dog world driving cars. Right. They're playing Rainbow in the Dark by Ronnie James
yes.
Dio.
Oh, that is. Right. I did write yeah. that this had a good soundtrack to it, too.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was some
did good
songs on this
but
one.
That was
as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Mark, what did you say? What did you think?
It's fucking best out of the three, man. I don't care.
No.
It's the best out of the three. God, I love it when they start a movie off with a banger song, fucking Sweet Dreams. Oh, my God. When they just start rolling, you know, like the credits, you know, like whatever Universal, and it's just a banger song. I'm like, here we go. It just gets me in the mood, man. Yeah, but speaking of music, the score and the piano keys striking reminded me completely of Eyes Wide Shut right off
I
the bat.
I fucking love this film.
I fucking love this film.
I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. I do. I love this film. The film also reminded me of watching like a Black Mirror episode without the technology. It kind of like each, you know, chapter was kind of like a Black Mirror. And if you take it like that, you know, that's great. I love the fact that it was all the same actors just playing different characters and interweaving back and forth. So much fun to watch. And I enjoyed every single one. Part two was my favorite. Then I'm going to go with part one for my second favorite, and then part three for my third favorite. That's how I enjoyed those films. Although I enjoyed them all. Emma Stone dancing was just such a highlight, and the way she danced and she's just letting loose and, you know, she's celebrating and all that. And then she gets in the car and she's, I mean, and she just, you look thirsty. And just, I was like, oh no, 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 no. And of course what happened happened, and what a great ending. Yeah, I mean, I love Yorgos, you know, films. I can understand like the average film goer not liking his films. Like it seems like pretentious or whatnot, but I love his films and how he does deep cut with the characters, and they're just fun. They're just fun to watch, and they're super fun to watch again and again because there's so many more nuances that you miss. Like the first screening of any of his films, you gotta watch it again. I'm telling you, there's so much more to these films. And also, you know, it is hard to explain. And even when the actors were on the red carpet and they're saying, what's this film, you know, about? And these actors like, and they're like pausing. Even William Dafoe was just like, well, it's about characters. And then his mind just went blank. But who cares? You know, I think they're fun films. They're interesting films. And I highly recommend it. I think it was fun. And the second one definitely had the horror aspect to it, especially when Jesse Plemons kept on getting those phone calls and you can't really hear, you know, what on the other side. It was super creepy, and that cutting off the finger scene was just absolutely brutal. I was like, you fucker, I'm just like putting up my feet. I did not want to watch that. but of course, you know, just seeing a foursome just out of the blue was so shocking and awkward when there's like, come on, we'll just a couple of minutes to watch the film, thinking it's gonna like they're on a cruise or something or on vacation, and it's just straight up porn, watching themselves have sex. What an awkward Yorgo, you know, like moment. So yeah, I love the film. I love the awkwardness of it. I love the acting. So yeah, highly recommend.
All right, man. I know you don't have any notes, but you probably
Before Matt starts, I just have to say, all the way through this film, watching this film, I'm going,
because I fucking said so.
Yeah, I swear, I was saying all the way through this film, watching this film, I was going, Matt is loving this film right now. I know he's loving this film. I was going, this is Matt's gonna go. He's gonna be over the moon with this fucking film. Take it away, Matt.
What a story, Mark.
No, I didn't like this one. I thought it was pretentious.
Were you in a bad mood?
No, I was in a perfectly fine mood. And
did you watch it
in the morning?
No, I watched it at night.
God, and, what the fuck?
Because I thought this would be something Michelle would want to watch. And we both, by the time it was over, it was like we had just hiked 20 miles. And we're like, thank fucking God we're home.
what the fuck?
I liked the first part of it, and I thought, oh, this is an interesting setup. I didn't realize it was going to be some kind of, you know, pseudo anthology sort of setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it got less interesting as the movie went on. And I was just like, when is this fucking thing going to end? I thought it was pretentious. I thought it was self-indulgent. I didn't think anything meant anything. There was just it was just a swing and a miss. I think he was, you know, I applaud him for taking such a big swing because I know he had some big concepts and everything, but this one just didn't land. And the dancing, I wanted to throw something through the TV at the dancing part. I thought it was horrible. It was just out of nowhere. It was just, you know what? This is kind of getting boring. Let's come up with something that's kind of quirky. How about you just start dancing like out of your mind? It's pieces that if they were in a better hole would be awesome. But that dancing party should have saved that for a different movie that has a little more, I don't know, a little more life to it. There was no life in this movie. It was just a trudge to get through, for me anyway. I thought that Willem Dafoe, I mean, everybody was good in it. It's one of those cases where the parts just didn't make a whole, and it was way too long. And I didn't get it, and I don't know that there was anything to get. But I thought it was setting up an interesting scenario, that beginning with the guy, you know, I was like, where is this going to go? You know, and obviously it didn't go anywhere. So I felt like maybe he had some pieces of ideas and just put them together and hoped that something would come of it. But yeah, this was by far my least favorite. Now, you know, comparing it to Death Note and Daybreakers, there's obviously more skillful filmmaking going on and acting going on and then those movies and writing going on and stuff too. But in terms of what it was, you know, it swung high but completely missed, you know, to me anyway.
Boy, am I curious what when you watched The Lobster. I
don't know if I've seen that.
No.
I loved Poor Things. Poor Things, I think, is fantastic. And you know, all the other movies of his that I've seen, Begonia, I liked. But yeah, this one, I felt like by the ending to me felt like, oh Jesus, I just wasted a lot of time watching this.
Wow.
So,
well, I still think that Matt, you and Catherine need to watch Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah. Oh so, God, yeah, for sure. It's for on my sure.
List. So Matt, yeah. you like this less than The Lure? I just want to clarify.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. I did enjoy this film, is the best word I can say. Because
I can appreciate it, but yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there are parts of it I actually enjoyed, just because it evoked an emotion out of me, and that was just pure and simple awkwardness. Like, I just felt awkward watching it. I was really kind of hoping for a Quentin Tarantino-ish tie-in at the end with these, you know, I was like cut out of order type of thing, but you never really got that.
Yeah, you get that from Cloverfield.
Recent. Yeah, I'm trying not to get too specific into this and spoil anything, just in case somebody does have almost 3 hours of their life they want to stare at a screen for. Yeah, I was quite shocked when 25 or 52 minutes into this that credits came up. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea this was
an
anthology. What's going on?
Yeah.
The second one, I agree with Mark. The second one, I think, was my favorite out of the three. I know this isn't spoiling anything because it's in the trailer, but the husband asking his wife to cut off her finger, he didn't care which one, and serve it with some cauliflower to him for dinner was just, and then she does it. It's just the most bizarre thing ever. And that's the one, though, that I liked that whole second movie, especially when the friends come over for dinner, because that was funny. But the ending just makes no sense at all. And I'm not going to say what it was, but the ending of that one, I just flat out did not get. Of the second one, where his wife comes back.
Well, we'll talk about it afterward. I mean, I liked that ending of that second one. I actually was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. But
I didn't understand it.
Well, it has to do with what he's thinking his wife is the whole second movie.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah.
But there's no explanation of what this other thing is then.
It's the real wife.
No. The one that comes back. The one that cuts her thumb off.
Oh, of what the other thing is.
Yeah.
We'll get into that outside of this, but I did take notes, but none of them really make a whole lot of sense. It made me feel so awkward. But mm-hmm. I, like you said, Matt, everybody did a wonderful job. They were like, mm-hmm. it was, but it wasn't the sum of its parts.
Right.
Everybody did a great job individually, but taking a step back and looking at this movie on the whole didn't work for me. Right. And I agree. It didn't work for, I enjoyed it, but it didn't work for me. Certainly not in the way that his other films have. So this, out of all the ones I've seen so far, which it's this, Begonia and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Poor Things.
This is last. I haven't seen Poor Things yet.
Oh, it's great. Matthew. Yeah, you'll love it. That, yeah. I think that's his best that I've seen anyway.
Yeah.
At the bottom. I would say, because Mark brought up Black Mirror, this might work better as like a three-part series or something like that you don't have to sit through the whole thing at once.
Yeah, 3 hours is a long time, especially in a theater.
So trying to make all of it make sense. It might play better. I still think the third part is not a very strong part, but the first two would work almost as Black Mirror episodes.
Yeah, like this could have been three episodes of a Twilight Zone type of thing.
Sure.
Easily.
Sure, yeah. So. Yeah, I agree with that. And seriously, in the third part, she gets a knife and with the dog, I was just like, oh, you motherfucker. That was bad.
This gets a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And Death Note, the opposite. So, speaking of which, I just wanted to know if anybody else thought this. When you were watching Death Note, the guy that played Light, the actor's name is Nat Wolff. Did anybody else think that was Alex Wolff, the kid who played Peter in Hereditary?
Yes, yeah. I did too for a minute.
Like, no, that's watching his brother. The trailers. Is it really?
They're brothers?
Yeah, they're brothers.
That makes sense, huh?
Nat Wolff and Alex Wolff. Hey, look at that. I put two and two together. Okay. Well, that explains
yes, I had that
they
thought
look
too,
very
Joe.
Similar.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I kind of put it together. I told you.
Way to go, Mark.
You're welcome.
It sounds like you're the expert, Mark.
It sounds like you're the... No, Matt, don't do it. I don't.
It seems to me like you're the expert, Mark.
Yeah, it looks like I am. Looks like I am.
So that's
Oh, hi,
it.
Mark.
That's all I got for Bring In the Noise, Bring In the Foe. And
welcome.
I'm going to shut up now before Mark yells at me.
Okay, folks, everything is fine. Fight is over, folks. I'm sorry, Mark.
Shut up, Joe. Shut up. Because I fucking said so.
God,
I fucking love this film. I gotta love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
I gotta find this episode and see why I was so fucking pissed off.
Well,
you
having
were
said
about
that,
the movie Pulse.
Yeah.
No, it was not. Yeah. It wasn't about
really.
It was Pulse.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
No,
it was
because
Pulse.
I fucking
it was
said
like
so.
Haunted movies. And he was thrilled that the movie took the time to explain how people cross over from the other world or something. Yeah, that's.
I thought
that's
Mark
I remember,
hated Pulse. Was that Mark hated
I don't
that
know.
Movie?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, speaking of which, it is Mark's turn next. And so he's got.
That's Catherine's turn next.
Oh, no. You're right. It is Catherine.
Yeah,
that's
we
right.
Just did
that's right.
Erotic okay. horror. We just did.
That's right. No,
come on,
sorry.
Matt.
Having
Maverick
said that,
and...
it is Catherine's turn next. And Catherine, we're all waiting with bated breath to find out what your next. The name of your next pick is going to be. You've set the bar so high.
All
Come
right.
on, bring
well,
the noise.
I'm excited about this one. I think it'll be fun. All right, I'm going to give you three movies. I'm going to tell you my picks. Then I want you to tell me what they have in common.
All right. All right,
so Mark loves all of them.
Maybe, but that's not going to be the right answer. All right, the first.
I fucking love
oh my
this
God.
Film.
Jesus,
I
Matt.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
All right, go ahead.
All right. My first pick is Motel Hell from 1980.
Nice. Hell yeah. That's been lingered on my picks for a while too.
Excellent. Yeah. Then I've got House from 1985, not the Japanese one. This is
the one with the great
yes, Catherine. Come on, Catherine, bring it.
All right. My third one is Hero. Right. My third one is Zombieland from 2009.
Oh, what's this theme?
Can you figure out what they have in common?
I was thinking of houses, but Zombieland.
Hang on a minute. I gotta throw a flag on the play.
Uh oh.
We've reviewed Motel Hell.
No, we haven't.
You did?
No, we've never done it as a pick.
No, not as a pick. You talked about it, saying how much you liked it.
Okay. Well, then I'm sure I'll like it again.
I know I've never seen it, so
yeah. I'll go back through the IMDb.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I know it wasn't a pick. It might have been back in the days when we were not really watching randomly the same movies or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Could be.
No. I remember. It was like, Joe, what'd you watch? You know, it was like at the beginning, and Joe said he watched Motel Hell.
Might have been an Shocktober or something.
Mm. Could have been something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, we got house, Motel Hell, and then Zombieland. Zombieland's the one that's throwing me off.
They all are, because I can't figure what each of them has to do with each other.
I'm thinking like this one's hard.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
All right, you give up?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. The title for my pick is called Cheers to Horror, because they all have someone from Cheers.
I almost said that.
Motel Hell has John Ratzenberger. House has George Wendt. And Zombieland's got Woody Harrelson.
Very good. Very good.
Cheers to horror.
Very nice. Cheers to horror. I like it. Damn it.
That was good. That killed one of my... I was going to do it, but with a different show. Okay.
No. Well, you can still do it, Joe.
Fair and square. Yeah.
And then just so you know, both Motel Hell and House are both on Amazon Prime and Tubi. And Zombieland is on Netflix.
House is so much fun.
It is.
Yeah. So I have not seen Motel Hell. I've seen Zombieland, and I've of course seen House as well. But House wasn't a pick.
Nope.
Any of our picks?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Never done House.
Not even House 2, The Second Story.
Which is the best sequel title ever.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. See, I wanted to do horror movies that all had people from the TV show MASH, but I'm always having trouble trying to find Alan Alda horror movies.
I don't think he's even in one.
But I got Jamie Farr in his soundtrack.
Jamie Farr, right? That's right. Yes. Yep.
Stop. Jeez Louise. Yeah. I'm never going to live that one down.
Yeah, his amazing song.
I seriously looked like hard for that.
What movie was that from?
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Yeah, that's right.
Melissa.
Yeah. That's right.
It almost sounds like All by Myself.
Yeah.
Kinda.
What are you looking at, Melissa?
Melissa.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you thinking?
Jamie Farr.
What are you thinking?
Sweet Melissa.
I really thought it was Jamie Farr.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com.
You look so far away.
You know, if we leave this any longer, we're going to have to pay royalties.
It's true.
Melissa.
So I think that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Rattle. Little pig, let's come in.
What is this?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Because I fucking said so.